Welcome to Tony B's Ambassadors of the Aging, a new radio show for Tony B, highlighting those growing in wisdom, wealth, and wellness.
Hey, Senior Tony Beers, boy, do I have a treat for you today. As always, we're trying to find the experts in all the areas about aging well. And today, I found someone. Yes, today our guest is Patricia A. Boswell. She's an LPN and an MBA, a licensed practical nursing and an MBA. So she's licensed to be a nurse, and she's also a business person. And she's written a book, Caregiving with Love and Joy. It's an expert guide to providing the best Alzheimer's disease and dementia home care. So her area of specialty is the idea that as a home caregiver and a care provider, there needs to be a perfect match between the giver of the care and the receiver of the care. Patricia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. So happy that you could spend time with us today. We want to get right into this whole idea that you've written a book, Caregiving with Love and Joy. Tell us a little bit about why you wrote this book.
I wrote this book because, first of all, thank you for having me on, and hello to your listeners. And let me just say that I wrote this book because, first of all, I'm passionate about aging. And as a young child, I lived across the street from a nursing home. So I was always in touch with aging and how people aged and how I wanted to age. But then after being in the medical field and the business field and coming back into the medical field in 2008, I really paid attention to what was going on in people's individual lifestyles, the environment, because I had a manufacturing operations background, and I knew how products were created and how they were manufactured and the different ingredients that were used and what ingredients not to use. And so I started putting all that together. And as I started spending more time back in the health field and picking the different areas that I felt really good about, and hospice was the first area, and then spending more time in the aging environment, then I became really more connected to the population of individuals with Alzheimer's and dementia, and how I was so curious about how they were being cared for, the decisions they were making, and because I have a business background, it allowed me to take a different approach to how people were aging. So I think the combination of all my experiences, personal and professional, in different areas of my profession, the health, the business, marketing, economics, I started putting all that together. And that's why I decided as I was moving forward over the years that I would write a book, because I just saw where people really focused on the financial part of retiring, but they never focused on their health. And then after they retired, when things health-wise would start breaking down, they were really, like, confused on what would be my next step. Even though they were financially fit, they still were not totally financially fit, because now you're spending your money on not traveling, but traveling within your home.
Right.
And you're not doing a very good job at that, because you didn't understand what type of care you needed within your home, and how to visit the doctor, how to advocate, all the different things that made up for you to have a really good, balanced aging process. So that's how I came about with the book. And then I also noticed, too, that people didn't know how to pick a good caregiver. Or they had a caregiver that they were able to relate to, but the caregiver wasn't educated enough on how to care for someone not only with dementia, but anyone that's sick. It takes a lot to do that, a lot of patience, a lot of understanding, and a lot of education, because as a caregiver, you are responsible for that person's care. But at the same time, if you're not taking care of yourself and doing self-care, you can become the victim and you can break down. And a lot of times the caregiver dies before the person that's being cared for.
Wait a minute.
That's basically how I started to get more involved in this process.
Yes. Wait a minute. You just said something that resonated. So all you Tony Beers out there, senior Tony Beers, as you're listening, don't kill your caregivers. Caregivers, oftentimes, based on Patricia's research and findings, oftentimes break down because the relationship between the caregiver and the person who's getting the care is not balanced. And so one who is a caregiver has to make sure they're well balanced and doing things for themselves, taking time for themselves, getting good night's rest, etc. Let's explore that a little bit, that relationship, that dynamic relationship. So the person who's being cared for obviously hopes, we believe, are happy to receive the care. And the person who's giving the care hopefully has decided they want to give the care. But talk about that relationship.
Well, I can give you an example with my aunt, and I speak about that in the book because I wanted the book to be very related to the reader, to the person that's experiencing the caregiving and the person that needs the care. Because some people will actually recognize and come out of not be in denial about what their needs are when they are sick, whether it's with Alzheimer's or they need care because they've become a cancer patient, a diabetic, they've been a chronic diabetic, and now things are starting to decline with them. So the book really relates to caregiving. So it doesn't have to totally be about Alzheimer's, but there are things in the book that relate to caregiving, no matter who it is you're giving care to. And so putting my personal story in the beginning, I think, would help people relate to, like, this is everybody's story in a lot of ways. And just as I was getting ready to start writing the book, I was asked by my two male cousins to help take care of my aunt. And my aunt was a retired nurse, but her sons had two different personalities and would care for her totally different. And the other thing was that my aunt always had, and I'll explain how I really was able to relate to her personality, but she always had a conflict of kind of personality. And so I wasn't sure she was going to relate to me as a caregiver. And my cousins insisted that the one that actually really understood caregiving and really trusted me, he insisted on me becoming her caregiver. But we had to also relate this to his brother, who was the main caregiver. My aunt had made him basically the main caregiver. And I think at times when people are picking, especially people that are developing dementia or declining with their Alzheimer's, they sort of pick a person that they feel like they can trust and also manipulate, and also know that they are protected by some of the things that they're doing, but other people will recognize, why are they doing that? Why isn't this happening? Why is this happening, but how are we going to correct it? Whereas sometimes they lean on the weakest person, even though they might be highly educated, they might be highly successful, and that's the thing about caregiving. And the caregiver, it's not always the person you think it would be, because you've watched them either grow up or you've seen them, you know, in their careers. It takes a certain kind of personality to be a caregiver.
Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can.
Just try.
Take a little time out of your busy day to give encouragement to someone who's lost the way.
Just try.
Or would I be talking to a stone if I asked you to share?
Talking to Patricia Boswell, and she's a licensed practical nurse who has worked in home health care settings as well as private duty nursing. And all of her career, she's a certified dementia practitioner from the National Council of Certified Dementia Practitioners and holds a certified aging in place specialist degree and from the National Association of Home Builders. Just want to let the listener audience know you're an expert in this area. You know what you're talking about. And we're talking about caregivers and selecting the correct person, underscore the word correct, to be the caregiver, because sometimes people are too familiar with you or not familiar enough. There's personality conflicts, etc. So when a person is choosing a caregiver, if they have the ability to do that, what are you suggesting for that person who has chosen to allow someone to be a caregiver to them?
Well, what I'm suggesting is that the person can take the emotion out of the caregiving so that they can make good decisions for you, because that person is going to go to your doctor's appointments. They're going to be that second ear or the third eye, you know, the third ear, the third eye, as people say, and they're going to be listening, and they have to be able to communicate when you're not communicating well for yourself. Because when you're in an appointment with a doctor or a specialist or a social worker, nutritionist, they're talking to you, and you might miss things. Even if you don't have dementia, you always have to listen and separate certain sentences that relate to you better. And so you have to have a better understanding and good listening skills And that's what that caregiver is doing for you. And also, when you go to the doctor, there'll be forms that need to be filled out. You know, they might not be the right person when you choose to be responsible with having a power of attorney for you. So you really, that's where you also are going to put a team together. And that would be the caregiver that helps put the team together, because that caregiver is going to need time off to do their personal things. And they have to feel comfortable leaving you with someone in a team. And also the team helps that person, the caregiver, not to exhaust themselves so that they are now flustered and they're starting to decline with their health mentally and physically. So that's why I was saying that it's so important that you pick the right person, because there's so many little things that go with being the right person. And communication is very important. The person has to be able to communicate with you with a lot of patience and understanding, because as you're aging and the dementia, that person has to be in the moment in dealing with you. And they have to understand how to communicate with you, not to make you have triggers where you're frustrated and you become angry and then you have a behavioral problem. And so as a caregiver, you need to understand all those things. But also, if you're having symptoms of dementia and you see yourself, you need to be able to come out of denial, because you're at a point where you can make good decisions for yourself. And you want to know, everyone today basically has heard about Alzheimer's and what it does to a family and what it does to the person. It's not like 10 or 15 years ago. It's talked about all the time. So I think people today should really recognize, or when they are recognizing that they're having symptoms, they start putting their items, lifestyle, their important papers together if you haven't done it. Hopefully you've done it beforehand and you've picked a good caregiver and you've been watching that caregiver maybe take care of someone else or how they've lived their life. So there's, like I said, there's so many dynamics to picking the right person, and also that person can go for the long haul. And then another thing about a caregiver, too, sometimes caregivers are the best caregivers, but then they don't want to let anybody else in to help them. So you have that extreme, too. And they really need the help. They think they can do it by themselves. And then what's happening is they're not doing it well by themselves, because they're not able to take a break because they haven't let anyone into the circle. Even though they said they were going to let them in, they really fight back to let you in.
So it sounds like
I said.
Yeah, it sounds like that territorial situation, depending
yes.
on the relationship that the two parties have. So in summary, I'm hearing that trust is a key fundamental part in this whole idea of caregiving with love and joy. There has to be trust on both parties' part. Let me just read what your colleagues are saying. So on the book, a review is, bravo for a book that will improve the lives of many caregivers and their loved ones. That is Dr. Powell, author of Dementia Reimagined. And it looks like she gave some great comments, and there are other great comments. There's so much in this book. It's packed full of chock full of nuts of great nuggets and wonderful guidance. Are you at the point where you believe that caregivers who do it well can train other caregivers as we wrap up?
Yes, I think they can do it.
Okay. So you believe that caregivers have the ability to train other caregivers and probably
yes,
can
they, do.
They can identify yes, they do. Who would be a good caregiver. So just give us a few nuggets as we close out, one or two, of good caregivers. What must they have?
I think a good nugget is how someone communicates. And that's one of the things that I have noticed in my practice is how people are communicating when they're caregiving. And the reason why the communication is so important, because it can trigger, like I said, people's personalities in a negative way. But if you're communicating and giving direct communication to someone with Alzheimer's, they will respond. And if you understand who they are, what their likes are, what are the good triggers for them, and most of the time for them, music is a very good trigger for them. They will you will watch them change their personality in minutes once you put on music that they are familiar with. Or if you know them and they had, let's say they had particular shows that they like to watch and it had music in it and acting in it, they relate to that so well. They also relate to the different types of art, coloring. And so that caregiver has to have the patience to want to sit down and show them and do little arts and crafts with them, because at a point, they can't do it by themselves. They can't make a decision. So you're like that person that's helping them move forward, because they get confused. And you don't want them to get frustrated. You want it to be a time of fun for them. And you also want to keep that person, a good caregiver knows how to keep the schedule so they know what their likes are and what their dislikes. And if there is no one to take walks with them. And you know that by developing that relationship and trust. Like my aunt enjoyed her, someone would come in and wash her clothes, and then they would fold the clothes together. But then afterwards, she would take her out. They'd go for a walk around the pond. They would go for lunch. And she only came once a week, but that kept her calm all day for the rest of the day. And then she would sleep well at night. So that is, you know, I was her caregiver, but I wasn't with her every moment. So I had put teams together so that people would do certain things.
Wonderful.
And then also,
we're going to wrap up there. Let's get this last point in. So after all of that, it sounds like a person who's on schedule and has a routine are great. Any other thing you want to say as we begin to close out?
The only thing that I would like to say is that make sure as a caregiver that you are taking care of yourself. I want to reemphasize that, because I've just seen people age overnight and from being a caregiver and not taking care of themselves, and to always be in tune to your surroundings with that person, because safety is very important too.
Wonderful.
Your safety and that person's safety.
All right, you heard it, Tony Beers, Senior Tony Beers. There's a lot into caregiving, but before you branch out into that area, you need to get Patricia Boswell's book, yes, Caregiving with Love and Joy, An Expert's Guide to Providing the Best Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia Home Care. But there are tips in there overall about caring for someone you really love. Patricia, this has been so great. I'm sure we're going to get questions from the listening audience. You know you can reach us here at WGCH, WGCH.com. And we want to make sure that if you have some questions, you feel free to write in to us, or we can get the question over to Patricia. Patricia, thank you so much, and we're going to end now. I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me on, and your listeners are welcome to go to my website, Caregiving with Love and Joy, and engage with me too.
Wonderful. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care now. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap up now. This has been Ambassadors of the Aging. This is Tony B. We're signing out. WGCH, 1490 AM.